after, you know, September, after this weekend. So, and still, I still, you know, people are still doing vacations. And of course, this is a big holiday weekend. So I think of the summer kind of being officially over after this weekend, so to speak. Praise God. So we look forward to Danny Johnston. Amen. He's coming a long way, and he'll be prayed up. I promise you that. He'll be in tune with heaven, and he'll do exactly what he believes the Lord wants him to do. And so we look forward to that. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Say, I have ears to hear. My eyes are open. My heart is open. I'm hungry for the truth. Spirit of God, help us to receive the truth, to understand it, so that we might walk in the light of it. And Father, we thank you for the anointing of God to effectively communicate to people this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray and believe. And thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We started here 2 weeks ago and got involved a little bit with it, but then we did some different things with the message last week. And so we want to go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. We've been looking at the great value of walking in the peace of God. So let's read this, Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life. I like the King James, and other translations do it too. It says, take no thought. And the word thought there means take no anxious thought, so do not worry. But I like that, take no anxious thought. See, thoughts come to your mind, but you don't have to take them. Great key to victory, great key to victory. Therefore I say to you, do not worry, take no anxious thought about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, or do not take thought, do not take anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. Glory to God. The very first thing we need in life, in the natural, is we need water. We need food. We need clothing. We need shelter. You know, you got to have warmth. You ever think about it? I kind of half ran away from home one time when I was 14 years old. And I had a miserable night. I mean, there's no place to go. There's no bed to get into. It's cold. The ground is hard. I'm telling you, it was a really, 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 and there's no water. It was miserable. And we don't think about that. But if you're just out in the, if you're out in the cold, out in the wind, the rain, it's not good. And so all of these things are necessary to live and to live a good quality of life. And that's why we call these things, you know, the necessities of life. And how many of you know it takes money to have the necessities of life? They don't turn on your electricity because you love the Lord or because you're a good old boy or because you're a nice girl, you know. No, it takes money to have food and to buy food and to have water and shelter and to pay your electricity bill and to have heat in your home and to buy the things you need. And, you know, we live in a society where everybody has to have a car and to have a good car and to maintain your car and buy gas for your car. I mean, I got a $1,700 bill for the insurance on my car and truck this week, due now, you know, and the week before I got a $1,200 bill due on the insurance on my house. And in about a month from now, you know, I'll receive a $1,200 or $1,300 bill or something like that for my taxes on my house. Amen. And so it takes money to, and you have to, you know, it takes money to buy clothes and to have shoes. Aren't you glad you're not walking around barefooted this morning? Amen. And, you know, no one wants to just survive, just live in a shack and just barely make it. I mean, you know, you don't have to live in a palace, but we do want to thrive, amen, and prosper and be blessed in these areas and live a good quality of life. And did you know that, by far the number one thing that people worry about is money? Number one. Amen. It's interesting, this whole passage, Jesus, you know, we started in 6:25. If you back up a little bit, Jesus said, look, you can't live for God and live for money at the same time. But then he starts talking about, but I don't want you worried about money because I'm going to provide for you. And it says, God knows that you have need of these things. And he will abundantly provide them, praise God. But the number one people worry about is money, because you need money or something to barter with so that you can, you know, meet the necessities of life and pay your bills and adequately provide for yourselves and take care of your children and so forth and so on. Amen. And so, and again, Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, he said, don't worry about these things, for your heavenly Father, I love this, he knows that you need all these things. What are these things? The things that the Gentiles are out there seeking. Well, they're not seeking to live in a shack. They're seeking to have a good quality of life. God knows that you have need of these things. Praise God. Amen. Unbelievers seek after these things. They worry about these things and are always thinking about how to get these things and are concerned about these things. Some just so they can pay their bills. Some because they're greedy and covetous. But God says, I don't care. You know, even if you're not greedy and covetous, I don't want your life to revolve around these things. Let your life revolve around me, and I will see to it that you have all of these things. Glory to God. Amen. And this passage indicates, you know, as you read the whole things, that he will more than adequately take care of us. Aren't you glad for that? I like Warren Wiersbe. I like to read after him. Good Baptist man, good commentary. And on this passage, I mean, this commentary is on this passage about, you know, God supplying the needs of the birds and so forth. He says, nowhere did Jesus magnify poverty or criticize the legitimate getting of wealth. Nowhere. God made all things, including food, clothing, and precious metals. God has declared that all things he made are good. God knows that we need certain things in order to live. He has given us richly all things to enjoy, 1 Timothy 6:17. It is not wrong to possess things, but it's wrong for things to possess us. Jesus warned against the sin of living for the things of this life, but if you will live for him, he promised to bless you with the good things of this life. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, amen. Praise God. Now, look at verse 25 again. This is so powerful. Therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about all these things, or take no thought. Take no anxious thoughts of all kind come to your mind. But how many of you know you don't have to take the thought just because it comes to your mind? Thoughts come because you see a billboard. Thoughts come because you smell something. Thoughts come because of the devil. Thoughts come because of commercial. Thoughts come just all kind of thoughts. Amen. But you don't have to take the thought. Praise God. You can reject it if it's not a godly thought. Amen. So he says, take no anxious thought about these things. Don't take. Everybody say, don't take. Any anxious thoughts that come to your mind. One well-known commentary says the Greek word translated take no thought literally means to be drawn into different directions. See, if you take the thought, you already know what God's word says, or you should know what God's word says. Let me say this to you. A wrong thought is any thought that's out of line with God's word. All right? A wrong thought is any thought that's contrary to God's word. And we should not take any thought that's contrary to God's word. It may come to our mind, but you don't have to take it. You don't have to accept it. So any wrong thought, some wrong thoughts are sinful thoughts. Some wrong thoughts are not sinful. They're just out of line with God's word, but they will cause you to be depressed or cause you to be insecure or cause you to, you know, live in ways that God never intended for you to live. You follow me? And so he says, so you're drawn in two different directions. It's very interesting. And the word also, if you study it out, the Greek word translated take no thought came from a Greek word meaning to divide. Listen carefully. To divide. Amen. This man says it literally means to be drawn in different directions. If you're drawn in different directions, you are divided. You know, you got one foot in, you got one foot out. You're divided. Glory to God. Well, when we worry, if we take on the care, if we take the thought, if we meditate on it and dwell on it, amen, that divides our attention. Are you with me? Are you following me? It draws or pulls us into two different directions. And wrong thoughts of all kinds, a worry thought, an anxious thought, a fearful thought, in the light of the fact that God is our Father and He told us that He would provide for us, is a wrong thought. Amen. Hey, glory to God. But any thought of any kind that comes to us, whether it's a sinful thought, a worry thought, a doubt thought, a depressive thought, if we entertain that, if we don't entertain it, then it will not distract us and divide us and pull us into two different directions. But if the thought comes and you dwell on it, you entertain it, you continue to look at it, you focus your attention on it, then you become divided. It's kind of like the man, you remember the man whose son was had an evil spirit and he was mute, and the man told Jesus, he said he throws him into the fire, he has fits, you know, he has seizures and so forth, and when I brought him to your disciples, you all know that story. And the man looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, if you can, help me. And Jesus told the man, he says, not a matter if I can. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And the man said, I believe. Help my unbelief. He's divided. He believes. You know, you can believe but not be fully persuaded. It's a big key, right? Big deal here. He believes, but he's not fully persuaded, because he also looks at his son and sees the horrible condition that he's living in, praise God. So part of him believed and part of him didn't. But how many of you know, if you partly believe and partly doubt, then you're not in faith? Amen. Sometimes people believe God meets their, they know that the Bible says that, they agree with that, and they partly believe it. But they got bills and the kids need new shoes, this won't happen unless you focus your, but if you focus your attention on that, and you're trying to look at God's word, and you're trying to look at that, and you become, what do you become? Distracted. You become pulled apart. You become divided. I know the word of God says I'm healed. I know the word of God says I'm healed. I know that by His stripes I'm healed, but the doctor said, and I got this pain, and I'm dealing with it, and divided heart. Amen. I was watching John mention football. Actually, I was riding up here to the church to get something, and I turned on the radio, and the Tennessee football game was on, and the guy went, oh man, what a fabulous catch. He said he was in bounds. He goes, but he wasn't. He was and he wasn't. By that he meant, on the replay, part of his foot was in bounds and part of his foot was out of bounds. Well, when part of your foot is out of bounds, then you're out of bounds. He was divided. He was partly in and partly out. But if you're partly in and partly out, then you're out. If you partly believe and you partly don't believe, then you don't believe. Amen? And sometimes people believe the word in their hearts, but because they have focused on and dwelled on and entertained wrong thoughts and say it's not true, they don't believe in their head. They believe in their heart, but they don't believe in their head. Now, you can believe in your heart with all kind of doubts coming to your mind, but you don't entertain them, you reject them, you don't accept them. But once you take that thought and you believe it in your head, even though you really do know what God's word says and your heart believes it, you're still divided. And when you're divided, you don't get results. Amen? Unbelief negates their faith. Just like the football player being out of bounds negates his catch. So the secret is to not take the thought. How do you take the thought? By dwelling on it, by meditating on it. Keep your focus on God and His word and His promises, and totally off any thought that contradicts the word of God. And you're going to see as we go through this, when Jesus says, take no thought, that He's going to tell you what thought to take. You're going to see that. You with me so far? Amen. So if we entertain wrong thoughts, or anxious thoughts, or any thought that contradicts God's word, then we'll be drawn into two different directions. We'll be divided. See, when we're divided, we know what God's word says. We know what the Lord promises. But then thoughts come and draw our attention away from what God's Word says. Glory to God. And here's where we get in trouble. Here's where you get out of faith. Here's why people yield to temptation. Here's why a large portion of the body of Christ, they go, you know, they're not ignorant. They know the Bible talks about a miracle-working power, a God that heals, where the Bible says, wherever two of you shall agree on earth is touching anything, it shall be done. Whatever you ask in my name, it shall be done for you. Believe in your heart and say with your mouth, and it shall. They know the Scripture says all that, but they just kind of ignore that and push it aside because their experiences say, well it doesn't happen in my life. You know, what about so-and-so? He died and he loved God. And so that they're pulled apart and they're distracted. And so now they just forget about all those things and they just interpret the Bible in the light of their experiences. Never do that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wrong thoughts and thoughts that contradict God's word and tell us that the promises of God are not true or that they're true, but they're not working for us. You've got to watch that. I know the word of God's true. Nobody could ever tell me it's not true. I'm just saying it's not working for me. I don't know why it's not working for me. And it's my fault. I agree. It's my fault. But it's not working for me. Well, shut up and listen to what you're saying. Amen. These thoughts are attempting to divide us. They're attempting to draw our attention away from the truth, God's word, and cause us to waver. Remember, Abraham was fully persuaded and he didn't waver? Well, no, these thoughts will cause you to waver. If we don't resist these thoughts and say no to them and, everybody say and, turn our attention, our focus off of those thoughts and on to the truth, then you take the thought. And when you take the thought, you become divided, you become conflicted. Anybody ever been conflicted? I'm talking about spiritually. I know the Bible says, but. And when we take the thought, even though we know and agree with God's word, we will believe and act on and be controlled by that thought instead of what God's word said. So, once we know the truth, now you got to know the truth. Once we agree with the truth and actually believe what God's word says, listen very carefully. The key to staying in victory and faith. How many of you want to live in victory and faith? The key to staying out of doubt and fear and unbelief. The key to staying out of worry and fear. The key to not yielding to some wrong temptation. How many of you don't want to yield to sin? The key to not yielding to sin. The key to not taking the wrong thought. The key is to not take wrong thoughts. That's why the Bible says, cast down wrong thoughts, wrong imaginations. The word feelings is a part of that in the Greek. Any feeling, any thought, any imagination, any suggestion that goes against God's word when it comes to your mind, don't take that thought. You have to cast it down. You have to resist it. You have to say no to it. Amen? Don't take the thought. Relative to what we're specifically talking about, don't take the worry thought. Glory to God. Don't be drawn away. Don't be moved off God's word. Don't be pulled into different directions because of some worry-filled thought that comes to your mind. In order to do that, number one, you must cast down wrong thoughts. You must resist them in the name of Jesus. But then number two, very important, you must replace the worry-filled thought with what God's word says. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you ever stop to think about it? Replacing wrong thoughts that come to our minds with what God's word says is casting down wrong imaginations. That's a powerful way to cast down wrong imagination. The wrong thought, the wrong imagination, the wrong feeling comes to you. You go, no, I resist that in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. The word of God says. And then you focus your attention on what God's word says. When you're thinking about what God's word says and quoting what God's word says and confessing what God's word says, you are casting down wrong imaginations. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? Praise God. People worry because they're looking at the wrong things. So Jesus said, don't worry. Don't take worry thoughts. It might come to your mind, but don't take them. Don't be drawn away from what I'm telling you, because you're looking at and focused on thoughts that tell you you're going to come up short, you're not going to be able to pay your bills, nobody can make it in this economy, we can't really enjoy the good things of life because of inflation, we have to buy all the cheaper stuff, you know. I had some toilet paper up here and I said, get rid of this stuff. I wouldn't pay any attention. I just walked into the old DG, you know, and just picked up some and I said, This is a half a step above a corn cob here. Go get me some Charmin or something. You know, take a little break so you'll stay with me here. Amen. Instead of taking those worry-filled thoughts because you're dwelling on it, watch this. This isn't just me making this up. Jesus is going to tell you to replace that thought with something else. He says, don't take anxious thoughts. Now, look at verse number 26. Look, King James Bible says, behold. If you behold something, what do? You look at it. You focus your attention on it. You stare at it. You gaze at it. You fix your attention at it. Jesus said, don't take the anxious thought. Don't focus your attention. Look at this. Behold this. Fix your attention on this. What? The birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Praise God. God's saying, look, He takes care of all the animals over the entire planet. He feeds all of them. And you're worth much, much more than they are. God is your heavenly Father. And He will provide everything you need. Focus on that. Look at that. See? It's not just, I'm going to use a double negative here. Triple negative maybe. Don't just focus. You know, you don't focus on the wrong thing. Focus on the right thing. Replace the wrong thought with a godly thought. And then in verse 28 he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider. Everybody say consider. What does it mean to consider something? That means, you know, Abraham considered not his circumstances. You remember that, don't you? He didn't focus his attention on the circumstance. Consider not. If you consider something about it, dictionary definition, you think about it carefully. You examine it carefully and thoroughly. So again, to consider, he's saying, focus your thoughts, focus your attention on something. Amen. On this. Consider that God gloriously clothes and dresses the lilies of the field. Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like they are. And He will do much, much more for you. And then as you read on, as we did a while ago in verses 31 through 34, you remember Jesus said, don't be of little faith. Don't worry, don't take anxious thoughts, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? You have a heavenly Father. He knows you have need of all of these things. Just seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be given you. Consider that. Look at that. Think on that. Are you getting this? Don't take the anxious thought. Replace it with this thought. God's your Father. He loves you. He cares for you. Look at this. He provides, and He will much more provide for you. Glory to God. But that's such a valuable, valuable lesson and principle in all of life, not just for this one subject. So the way to take no anxious thought, no worry-filled thought, and indeed the way to not take any wrong thought of any kind is to resist it and ignore it and cast it down, glory to God, and replace it with what God's Word says. We all know that wrong thoughts lead to sin. Unchecked wrong thoughts lead to sin. Unchecked wrong thoughts lead to doubt and fear and unbelief, so that you cannot operate in faith. If you don't operate in faith, you can't receive God's grace. You can't receive the promises of God. We all know that unchecked wrong thoughts lead to depression. We all know that unchecked wrong thoughts lead to mental, emotional problems. We all know that unchecked wrong thoughts lead to unforgiveness and malice and resentment. We know that. Well, then that means a major key to dealing with wrong thoughts and to stopping wrong thoughts from bombarding your mind and dividing your heart is to replace them with the Word of God. I cannot tell you how many people have come to my office over the years because they were very troubled and disturbed because of wrong thoughts, bad thoughts, evil thoughts, unclean thoughts, wicked thoughts, unholy thoughts that just tormented their minds, that bombarded their minds. Everybody knows that you should not dwell and entertain on wrong thoughts. Is that right? Everybody knows that. And somebody says, well, quit thinking of them. Well, that's true. You know, don't take the wrong thoughts. But how do you do that specifically? How do you not take the wrong thoughts? How do you stop the torment? How do you stop the bombardment? How do you stop it from dividing your heart and causing you to get into fear and doubt? When a wrong thought shows up or pops up or attacks your mind, say out loud. Everybody say out loud. See, first of all, you're going to cast it down. You're going to reject it. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians. You know, this is true spiritual warfare. You're going to pull down. You're going to cast down. The words pull down and cast down over there means totally demolish and annihilate. Don't put up with it for a second. You're going to pull that wrong thought down. So I'm going to say out loud, in the name of Jesus. I'm just riding along in my car and some fear thought comes to my mind about being harmed some way. And I go, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I resist you in the name of Jesus. But then I also replace that wrong thought with God's word. And I say, God gives his angels charge over me. Glory to God, lest I dash my foot against a stone. And God has not given me a spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. And because I've done that religiously for 40 years, fear thoughts leave me immediately. They come sometimes, but when I do the work, they leave me immediately. Now, sometimes people have more of a problem with some area because they're a worry wart and they've yielded to it over the years, or they've yielded to depression, or they've yielded to some sin. And so when the thought comes to them, they resist it and they replace it with a godly thought, and the thought does leave them. But it may come back to you 5 minutes later, and it may come back to you 10 minutes later, and it may come back to you. You're going to have to be strong and committed and dedicated and purpose in your mind to do this over and over and over again, because that thing has to some extent or another developed a stronghold in your mind, and you're going to have to deal with it strongly. You follow me? Praise God. So, but I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to say out loud, I rebuke you, I resist you in the name of Jesus. But then number two, very important, I'm going to replace that wrong thought with what the Word of God says in that particular area. So I say out loud. Now, if I'm in a crowd or in a restaurant or something like that, I'll you can speak within yourself. I just say it within myself. Glory to God. So if all of a sudden a fear thought comes to my mind, I say, I rebuke you, fear. I resist that in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then I replace it with God's word. If a thought, you know, a sinful thought comes, oh, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I resist you. I do not accept that. I cast that wrong thought down. Glory to God. The word of God says, see, I'm saying this out loud. I'm replacing the thought. The word of God says, hallelujah, sin has no dominion over me. Jesus has forgiven me and delivered me from the power of sin and the penalty of sin. See, I quote that. I'm just kind of giving one or two scriptures here, but I kind of like what one man said. He said, when the devil comes to your mind with a wrong thought, when he gives you a wrong thought, then you ought to immediately turn around and give him 20 scriptures. And if you've had some long-standing problem, then you ought to go to the Word of God and find those 10 scriptures or 8 scriptures or 7 scriptures that you've got ready at the hand to battle back with. Amen. Glory to God. You know, just you get a little tweak in your back. Oh my God. Oh Lord, Lord. My dentist had that tweak, and 3 weeks later he was dead. True story. Oh my, I guess I'm going to have back pains for the rest of my life. This has happened. No. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Go from me. The Word of God says, by his stripes I'm healed. I've been redeemed from the curse of every sickness and every disease. Amen. So it's doing both of those things. Worry about your finances. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that thought. I don't care what the politicians do. I don't care about inflation. My Heavenly Father takes care of me. He feeds me. He clothes me and takes care of me in grand style. Hallelujah. Some kind of crazy, depressive thought comes to your mind. Some kind of, you ever had a crazy thought, just an insane thought, a deranged thought, an unpeaceful thought come to your mind? No, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. God has given me a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. Glory to God. I know that God has thoughts of peace toward me, not of evil, to give me a bright hope and a bright future in the name of Jesus. See? And you got to do that. You got to do it. Everybody say, you got to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so say no to the wrong thought, resist it, rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and replace it. Replace it with God's word. Listen carefully. I have never been defeated by a wrong thought of any kind. I have never been defeated by a wrong thought, depressive thought, fear thought, sin thought, you know, sickness and disease. I have never been defeated by a wrong thought of any kind when I cast it down in Jesus' name and replaced it with God's word. Not one time. Mark Brzee said, we cannot focus on the problems and go over in victory. It's impossible. You cannot focus on the problem and go over in victory. If you're focused on the problem, you're going to have a divided heart. He also said, but you cannot focus on the word, the answer, the truth, and go under in defeat. You cannot focus on the problem and go over in victory, but you cannot focus on the word, the answer, and go under in defeat. So the question then becomes, what are you focusing your attention on? What are you listening to? Now let me help you with this. This is an example you may have seen, but let me show you how this works. How that speaking the word out loud actually stops the thought from coming to your mind and redirects your thoughts. That's why it's so important to do this. So in a moment, I want you to count in your mind to 25. You know, like 1, 2, in your mind, 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 10. I want you to do that when I tell you. But while you're doing that, when I say repeat after me, I want you to repeat after me, all right? So go ahead and begin to count. 1, 2, 3. Say this. My Heavenly Father provides all my needs. God supplies my needs and takes care of me. He wonderfully takes care. Are you counting? You lost your count, didn't you? Because when the words came out of your mouth, it stopped the thought. Not only did it stop the thought, it redirected the thought to what God's Word says. Oh, hallelujah. You can't think thoughts while you say something else. God's word spoken out of your mouth, glory to God, stop what you're thinking on, glory to God, amen, and redirects your thoughts to what you're saying, God's word. That's why it's so important. Make your tongue do its duty. I said make your tongue, speak the word and change the thought and replace the wrong thinking. You don't have to take wrong thoughts. I said, you don't have to take wrong thoughts. Glory to God. You don't have to think on thoughts just because they come to you. Crazy thoughts can come to you. In verse 31, Jesus said, take no thought. Verse 31, do not worry. King James, take no thought. Or in other words, take no anxious thought. Take no anxious thought saying. Take no thought saying. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Let me put it to you this way. Take no thought saying, how are we going to pay our bills? You know, we're going to come up short this month. You know, they did a big cutback. I'm not getting that. How are we going to make it? We always come up short. Every short. I'm telling you, we bought that kid new shoes for school. And 2 weeks later when school started, they didn't fit him anymore. I don't know how we're going to keep him in shoes. These shoes don't grow on trees. You know, they cost money. How are we going to make it? I used to make money. But it's hard to make money today. Take no thought saying. When you say the wrong thought, you reinforce the thought and you take it and it becomes yours and you're distracted. You're pulled into two different directions. You have a divided heart. One foot is in and one foot is out. And when you're half out, you're all the way out. Because you're not fully persuaded. Hallelujah. Instead of doing that, change the worry thought. Change any thought that's not in line with God's word by speaking God's word, thinking on God's word, and meditating on God's word. Everybody say, speaking God's word.
Speaking God's word.
Thinking God's word.
Thinking God's word.
Meditating on God's word.
Meditating God's word.
Matter of fact, you know, of course, you can teach weeks on the importance of meditating in the word, but here's the most famous scripture, I guess. You know, Joshua said, meditate in the word. God told Joshua, you know, he's taken over from Moses. God doesn't want Joshua to fail. He wants Joshua to succeed. He wants him to prosper. He wants him to have good success. He wants him to, you know, go into the promised land and take the land. He didn't call him to fail, just like he didn't call you to fail. And so he says, meditate in the word day and night that you may observe to do it, for then you will have good success. But that's not really what he said. What he says is, the word of God, the book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate in it day and night. Never noticed that before. I mean, I noticed it, but I didn't notice it in this order. Meditation didn't come first. Speaking the word did. Isn't that interesting? Speaking the word, recite the word, utter the word, mutter the word to yourself. Because, you see, God knew speaking the word imposes right thoughts on your mind. Make your tongue do its duty. And when you think right thoughts, you automatically cast down wrong thoughts. And when you think right thoughts, then you don't take the wrong thought. So speak the word and meditate in the word. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Now I'm going to close with this. This is so rich to me. You know Isaiah 26:3. You can put it up for us, Matthew, there. This is interesting. Whew. Undisturbed peace is priceless. I don't want to be worried and anxious about anything, but I want to have peace in every area of my life. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, whose thoughts are stayed on you because he trusted you. Well, if you focus your attention on the word, you will trust in him. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now, you may or may not know that the word peace there is the word what?
Shalom.
Shalom. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. But you might not know this. The word perfect is also the word shalom. That will keep him in shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Like a lot of languages, when the Hebrews, when they said a word twice, that was to emphasize what they were saying. So you will keep him in perfect peace, incredible peace, lasting peace, constant peace, real peace, when your mind is stayed on him. Shalom, shalom. My wish for you today is that you have shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. Incredible peace. Glory to God. The peace that passes all understanding. So when it comes to the necessities of life, keep your mind stayed on him, on his ways, on his promises. Jesus, just a few verses, but throughout the Bible, God promises to abundantly supply our needs. But Jesus is saying, you know, look at this, behold this. He's your Heavenly Father. He cares much more for you, and he will provide for you. Amen. But know this. This is what I want to close with. Thoughts will come in this area. There's a lot of ways your peace can be disturbed. We've talked about some of them. Thoughts will come. Everybody say they will come. To try to rob you of your peace of mind. When they do. You ever heard somebody like Brother Hagin, for instance, he'd say, I haven't had a depressed day in 45 years. But then he'll say something like, oh, I've had marvelous opportunities to be depressed. That meant thoughts of depression came to his mind, but he didn't take them. He didn't take them. He refused to think on them. He cast them down and replaced them with God's word. So understand, thoughts to disturb your peace will come to your mind. When they do, resist them and cast them down in Jesus' name and replace them with the truth of God's word. Speak the word. Amen. Speak it out loud. And then meditate on what it says, and you'll walk in shalom, shalom. Can you say amen? Let's stand up together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening so good. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Say this out loud. I don't have to take every thought that comes to my mind. I don't have to take. I don't have to receive every thought that comes to my mind. Any thought that's not in line with God's word, I cast it down. I resist it in the name of Jesus. And I replace it with God's word. I speak the word out loud against all wrong thoughts. My mind is focused on Him. My mind is stayed on the truth of God's word. And I have incredible peace. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I have perfect peace. I have shalom, shalom. In Jesus' name. Now why don't you just quote the word of God. Just quote the word. Maybe you're dealing with something. Well, quote the word of God. Maybe you're not dealing with anything. Just quote the word of God. Dealing with some sickness trying to attack your body. Quote the word of God. Dealing with crazy thoughts that come to your mind. Quote the word of God. Glory to God. I have a sound mind, the Bible says. A sound mind. Not full of fear. Not full of fear. Not timid. I have a sound mind. Praise God. I have the mind of Christ. Maybe depressive thoughts are coming to your mind. Praise God. Thoughts of rejection are coming to your mind. Then you quote and say, I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm not rejected. I'm accepted by God Almighty. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. Praise God. My sins are forgiven. They're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. By His stripes I was and I am healed. Glory to God. Amen. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement necessary to obtain my peace and well-being was upon Him. And by His stripes I am healed. Who His own self bare. He bare my sicknesses and diseases on the cross. Glory to God. If He bore them, I don't have to bear them. That's what my attention's focused on. I've got the mind of Christ. My God richly. My God supplies all of my needs. In the Greek it says, my God supplies to the full, or richly supplies, or abundantly supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Praise God. Say that. Quote that. Meditate on that. Think that. Think godly thoughts. Praise God. Think godly thoughts. But when you think godly thoughts, you're not thinking ungodly thoughts. When you think godly thoughts, you're casting down wrong imaginations. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And the truth of the matter is, I've been doing this, you know, for close to 45 years. And a lot of times, you know, thank God for the miraculous. Thank God for the power of God. Thank God for sovereign moves of God and special moves of God. But day in and day out, I can't get inside your mind and think for you. I can't give you a magic pill that causes you to do what I'm talking about. If there was a magic pill that would make wrong thoughts go away, I would take two myself. Then I'd give you one. This is the way to victory. This is what we all must do in every day of life. But it's worth it. It's worth it to have incredible peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. You're wonderful and mighty and good. When you're praising God, you're focused your attention on Him. That's another way to deal with wrong. Praising God and worshiping God. I praise You and I worship You. Let's just do that. I praise You and I worship You and I magnify You and I love You. I give You glory and honor this morning. Praise God. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior, and I worship Him and praise Him and thank Him. Thank You for saving me and healing me and delivering me and making me whole. I'm whole. I'm well. My mind is at rest. My mind is at peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. No devil in hell can control my mind. Glory to God. I control my mind. Praise God. By the power of the Spirit, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm strong in the Lord and strong in the power of the Lord. His Word, I fill my mouth with His Word. I speak His Word and think His thoughts. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I worship You, Father. I worship You. I worship You. I praise You, magnify You, and love You. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, ha ha. Thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus. Hurra saralavai, hurra saralavai. Ungora saralai mana shararado Berererede garasadalavo Radalavabare. Let not your heart be troubled in this world today. Focus your eyes on Me. Stay in rest and stay in peace. There's nothing but peace in my spiritual realm. There's nothing but peace in heaven. So get your eyes and your focus off the things of this world and lift your eyes up to heaven and look at Me. Look at me through my word. I keep those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Set your affection, you know, Colossians 3 says, literally means your mind. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Would you just sense that wonderful peace in the presence of God? Shalom. Perfect peace. Undisturbed peace. Quietness of mind. Resting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Perfect well-being. A place where nothing is missing, nothing is broken. Shalom. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So go. Go and be a doer of the word that you've heard. Go and be a doer of the word that you know. It's the word that you know. It's the word that you actually know. It's the word that you do and practice in everyday life that makes all the difference in your life. So go and do that which you know to do. Be a doer of that which you know to do. And you will see that you will have great success. And you will see that you will have not only peace, but you'll operate in joy. And you'll operate in faith. And the blessings of God will come upon you and run you down and overtake you. And even though you've struggled with things for a long, long time, that struggle will go away. That struggle will leave if you just simply go out and do that which you know to do. Focus your attention on me. Replace those wrong thoughts that come to your mind with my thoughts and operate in my perfect peace, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Well, glory to God. Amen. How many of you feel that perfect peace right now? Sense that perfect peace might be a better way to say it. Well, go in that peace and walk in the love of God and the blessings of God. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, all we need. He's the way, the truth, the life. The only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?